Welcome to the GB2B podcast, where we bring industry leaders and experts to discuss the most pressing challenges and opportunities in the business world today. In this brand new series, Navigating Cybersecurity in the Modern B2B Landscape, we'll explore the evolving cybersecurity landscape in the B2B sector. Cyber threats have become more sophisticated, and as businesses expand their digital footprint, the risks only grow. This series aims to uncover the pressing challenges, trends, and solutions shaping the cybersecurity domain today. To kick off this series, we have a very special guest with us, someone who has been at the forefront of cybersecurity and identity protection. Joining us today is Mr. Abbas Kudrati, the Regional Chief Identity and Security Advisor at Silverfort and former Chief Cybersecurity Advisor at Microsoft Asia. Abbas is a thought leader in identity security, zero trust, and threat detection, advising top institutions like La Trobe University and High Trust Asia, while also mentoring the global security community. He is also a best-selling author known for books such as Threat Hunting in the Cloud and Zero Trust Journey Across the Digital Estate. With deep expertise in identity and access management, identity governance, and security frameworks, Abbas helps businesses enhance their security postures while ensuring operational efficiency. Welcome to the podcast, Abbas. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me on your podcast. Very glad and pleasure to be here.
That's great. I'm excited to talk to you and discuss this topic further. So to begin with, can you provide an overview of the current cyber threat landscapes specifically affecting B2B organizations?
Yes, absolutely. So cyber threat landscape in the current time has really evolved at what we call it as an unprecedented pace. Businesses are now facing very increasingly sophisticated attack, targeting all the way to their network, to their employee, and specifically even targeting the supply chain. And this is the one of the reasons behind this continuous and the expanded attack is due to the huge adoption of cloud computing, which is really positive. Mm-hmm. However, things like remote workplace, a lot of these business processes are now digitized. And all this has these attackers, that is why, are leveraging a lot of these advanced techniques, such as artificial intelligence power malware. They are leveraging things like social engineering attack, trying to exploit the human behavior. They are now trying to target and exploit all the organization legacy environment, what they have it. So the target and the sophistication is really increased. At the same time, the expansion and the usage of technology is also some on the other end, which is positive, but also helping this attacker to exploit them. If you look at the top three or four trend, what we see among the top primary threats across the world, especially within Asia side, mm-hmm. ransomware. Now, ransomware has been in the radar for many years. However, it has now increased because of the sophistication which is now available on hands of attacker. They are leveraging now Gen AI for creating malware. Within a few clicks, they have a malware kit ready, and they can target against individual companies as well as organization. They specifically use a technique called password spray. Now, password spray, we have seen an increase almost 300% in last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Just to help our audience understand, how is password spray different than the regular brute force attack? What happens in a password spray is attackers now go and collect all the compromised password on the internet. For example, if you have the same password on your Facebook or Uber or any kind of an app online, and the same password also is being used for your office or organization's login. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened is if that password is compromised, the hacker will go and collect that password similarly from all the other breaches around the world, and they create a list. So they will send the same compromise password against all the users of identity of the organization. And if any one of them are using that compromise password, they would get entry within that company, which is a very common and a very innovative way of targeting end users. Second one, what we see is a business email compromise attack. Now, here attackers, what they're doing is, and you must have seen lots of videos and a deep fake audio and video being used for luring a CFO. So CFO will receive an email or a video saying, or even a call saying that, hey, I'm a CEO in your voice as such, or in your video as such, asking them, can you make this particular payment quickly or send me some money? So that's a very classic example of a business email compromise, which is being received through email. And they exploit the human behavior or a trust factor of it. The third one out of the four is the supply chain attack. Now, criminals are targeting the third-party vendor. Now, you pick up any small company who may be 1,000 employee or a 500 employee, they will have at least 5, 10, 20, 30 outsourcing or third-party vendor who are providing them the service. Now, what happened is, you have secured your company, but how do you ensure that your third-party supplier or a vendor are also following the security? Because if their access is compromised, if their application is compromised, which you are using as a customer, attackers can get a leverage in your company as well. So supply chain attack is also one of the biggest thing, and the most very famous example, you know, is the SolarWinds attack, which we have seen a few years back. Last but not the least is the advanced persistent threat, where nation state actors and cyber criminal group are getting together for a very malicious intention, either to get a financial motivation or it could be a geopolitical situation. And they spend lots of time, what we call it, hands-on keyboard. So they do a lot of research. They then identify their target and then they send their attack. So this advanced persistent threats is something which really, really working at a much larger scale at a nation level as well. But of course, it affects the B2B organizations as well. So absolutely, to stay abreast against all these and be more proactive in the nature, we need to think of doing some of the very, very basic things, which include such as how they can, the way attackers are leveraging AI, same way company also have to leverage AI for detecting the threat. Similarly, zero trust framework and security awareness and many other, which we will discuss it as we move forward in our discussion.
Absolutely. And that's really concerning, the way you have explained the current threats, which are of prime importance and must be mitigated, or we have to find a solution around them. Right. Now, you've already listed out the most concerning threats as such. So, do you have any example of any company or a case study that has recently faced such issues with them?
Yeah, I mean, the world is full of those such examples, but let's look at some of the very top notable examples which I could think on top of my mind. For example, we all remember a big incident happened a few years back on a Colonial Pipeline attack. Now, if you look at that attack, which has now kind of stopped every car in that particular in the United States for not having a fuel to fill it because the pipeline was compromised by a ransomware. Now, if you look at how this particular incident happened for Colonial Pipeline, the attacker used a technique called phishing. They sent a malicious email to their employee, and one of the employee clicked on the link, which was a Google Drive link, which has because of which malicious software was downloaded. Now, from that malicious software, once it is downloaded, they created an access within the local environment. And from the local environment, they got access to the cloud environment of the company. And there they started encrypted all their sensitive data and important data and put a ransomware note that pay us a couple of whatever million dollar you need to pay. And only then we could give you an encryption key. They end up paying the money to this Colonial Pipeline attackers group. However, even after paying, they were not 100% successful in recovering the data because the encryption key only worked halfway. So there is no guarantee that even by paying the money to the ransomware group, you will get your data back. So absolutely, a proactive and a detailed security control assessment has to be done and implemented to protect against these kinds of ransomware. If you want one more example of a business email compromise, this comes from my own experience, where I was one of the I was doing a temporary role for one of the company here in Australia. And the CFO, one of the key executive email account was compromised. And what attacker has done is the attacker has created a role in the Outlook, online Outlook. Any email which is received to that particular executive, a copy is sent to the attacker. So attacker doesn't have to be inside the network. Now he's receiving all the emails of whatever is there. And this particular executive was responsible for sending the invoices to customers for and requesting for the payment. What attacker did is he collected the invoice, changed the banking detail in that particular invoice, and resend to the customer saying that ignore the previous email. Here's my updated invoice with my new account detail. And of course, since it was a legitimate email coming from the same company, customer end up paying it. Only after four or five transactions, the CFO realized they called the customer and say, "Why are you not paying us?" And the customer said, "We already paid you to your new account detail." And that's when they realized that their account was compromised and attackers was kind of changing all the banking detail and sending it to them. And then they did the full review, realized that there were so many accounts which were compromised because the executive never changed their password in the last 5 years. Because that person was a senior position, he said, "I'm not going to change my password." So bypassing all the security policy, which is a much bigger problem than implementing the security control. So these two are the classic examples of what we see. Knowingly or unknowingly, people are paying money and getting compromised because of these kind of issues.
So that must be really dreadful for the company to have their security infrastructure breached through these kind of malicious attacks. So, as you have already mentioned, that the thing that went wrong was the CXO has not changed the password, right, for a long time. So, is that the only reason that could have made this security infrastructure get compromised, or is there anything else, any other reason that you can think of? And what key
Oh,
lessons can be
no.
learned?
Yeah, absolutely. Just changing the password is of course, you have to change your password regularly, but these days, changing password is not enough. Everyone and every for every identity, human and non-human, you have to have a multi-factor authentication. Because password can be easily found or cracked or known to by the attacker. What is stopping them to get inside your network and access your data is the second factor authentication what you have, which is something you are, something you know, something you have, either your phone, SMS based, which is not the recommended one, but having an authenticator token, hardware based or authenticator app on your phone could have stopped this kind of incident. So that's a number one. 95 to 97% of these cybersecurity incidents can be stopped just by having a multi-factor authentication. And you'll be surprised to know, according to Microsoft last year, they released a report called Digital Defense Report. They mentioned that out of millions of customers Microsoft have, only 38% of the monthly active users are having multi-factor authentication. So there is absolutely a huge gap and a lot of work needs to be done among as a community that, and we need to educate everyone. MFA, 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 period. That's the first thing everyone has to do it before even they think of doing anything else, which is complex.
Yes, as you said, the gap is huge. So are companies taking any necessary steps or taking any kind of training programs to educate their employees about it? And is there a way out for these kind of issues to be taken care of?
Yeah, absolutely. More and more companies and more vendors are adopting something called secure by design and secure by default. So as if you have noticed some of the news which has come up in the last few months that, for example, Microsoft has by default enabled MFA. So when you start up a service of Microsoft in M365 and Azure, by default enable is MFA is on. So you cannot, you have to turn off if you don't want it, which is not recommended. So that is one thing we are doing it. Second, yes, education awareness goes a long way. making their employee aware about these kind of threats and how easy it is becoming for attackers to get access to your identities and data is something we need to constantly remind and re-educate and re-educate our people by giving them examples that, see, you have a Facebook account, you have a Twitter account, you have a Gmail account, you have MFA on those kind of account. Why can't they have the same thing for the company and corporate data as well? So bringing that kind of a personalized story and educating them, it goes a long way for including everything else what we do.
Right. I mean, that's quite an insightful information that you've just mentioned. Now, coming back to the other very important aspect, which is the environmental, social, and governance compliance. Now, as businesses are integrating cybersecurity into their governance frameworks, it's becoming an integral part for of ESG compliance as well. So, can you help decipher where cybersecurity fits within the ESG agenda?
See, when you talk about ESG, which is environmental, social, and governance framework, cybersecurity is now becoming a critical aspect of within the governance pillar of ESG. Now, more and more companies are increasingly held accountable for how they manage the data privacy. You may be seeing all the Privacy Act coming into play, like in Australia, like in India, in Bangkok, Malaysia, many places, which are mandating in terms of how are they protecting their sensitive data and sensitive information. They want to, and they are also making sure and ensuring that business continuity is in place. So definitely strong cybersecurity practice is contributing into the governance aspect of the ESG goal by making sure that it is promoting the transparency, ethical governance, and risk management factor part of the governance within the ESG framework.
All right. Sorry, you were saying
Yeah.
something.
No, I was thinking of your second part of the question in terms of the core component. So I could think of three or four examples. First one is on the regulatory compliance. Many of these ESG framework are, as I was saying, they include the cybersecurity as a part of it. So it is definitely a huge interaction between ESG and cybersecurity. Second biggest advantage or business why business should consider cybersecurity as a part of their ESG strategy is investor confidence. You know, more and more investors get a higher confidence, especially when you have a strong cybersecurity within which could enhance your corporate reputation by making sure that it is attracting all those ESG and a conscious investor. So it goes a long way in boosting the confidence of the investor. The third thing I could think of is from the operational resiliency point of view. Because cybersecurity definitely makes sure that your business is continuous. It ticks one of the big box in the business continuity framework, as well as the stakeholders' interest as well. And if you look at how the board members are getting smarter these days, they are asking the right question in terms of what are we doing in securing our company? Because they know that if an attack happens and if the data is compromised, it's a huge dent on the reputation of that particular company. And
That's
you
right.
don't want that. You can recover the incident or you can recover the business by spending the money. But if once you lose the reputation and a confidence in the customer, it takes years and years to rebuild that kind of confidence again. So it is a huge thing. Last but not the least is about the sustainability, you know, and security. So more and more companies are adapting toward the green technology, going green as we speak. They want to secure the digital estates by becoming more and more ethical and critical in what they do it. So sustainability and environmental friendliness, all those things are really part of the ESG, which is very well interacting and aligning with cybersecurity frameworks as well.
Right, great. So that takes me to the next question. Even though you have already amassed or helped us amass a lot of information around it, but then beyond risk management, cybersecurity plays a role in protecting consumer data, like you've mentioned already, and that is a known fact. It helps us protect consumer data, digital identities, even national infrastructures, right? And from the ESG perspectives, you have also mentioned what kind of steps can businesses take, but can you help reiterate what other
Yeah.
steps can they take in to ensure transparency, accountability, as well as resilience?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are two or three things they can do it. First of all, having a board level cyber governance, making sure that your leadership team and the board level are aware about the cybersecurity risk and how it is aligning with your ESG alignment framework as well. Second thing, second best practice I could think of is a transparent reporting in terms of which also includes cybersecurity metrics. So board has to, when they are asking questions about it, any kind of ESG disclosure, they should include and they must include cybersecurity metrics about how are they doing it in cybersecurity, the number of incidents, the risk profile, high risk, low risk, those kind of things would come a long way in their framework as well. The third thing which I covered in the initial part of our podcast is about the third party risk management. You know, everyone thinks about protecting their company, but no one asks the questions to their vendor and partner. How are they complying with kind of security frameworks? Or how are they complying with the ESG standards? So making sure that your vendors are also brought in terms of reporting, especially for the supply chain and third party risk management, it will also be really helpful. The last but not the least is about the ethical AI and data privacy. Now we are seeing lots and lots of companies are now trying to explore and exploit Gen AI. Everyone wants to try it out all the because of lots of hype and they don't want to miss out on the bandwagon of Gen AI. Everyone will want to start using it, but definitely there are concerns about the data privacy. So what are the companies doing today for implementing the policies that are aligned with both cybersecurity and the ethical use of data? Because we have seen examples how one of the big company, when they release their Gen AI product, so when somebody asked, create image of a Jesus Christ was created with a black skin. So the data was not correct, you know, and it was a big, big story in the media that your model is wrong. So what kind of data are you using it for training your models, Gen AI models or large language model? How ethical? What are the transparency framework? What is the responsible AI framework? You know, Microsoft have a detailed responsible AI framework, which talks about the privacy, safety, security, transparency, reliability of everything what they do it in that place. So definitely ethical AI and data privacy is one of fourth other pillar, which as a best practice companies has to think of, at the board level has to think of within cybersecurity and ESG initiatives.
Great. So Abbas, this has been an incredibly insightful discussion. And as you mentioned, cyber threats are evolving rapidly, and that needs to be addressed at a rapid space as a rapid pace as well. But as you have pointed out, with the right strategies, businesses can stay ahead of the curve, right?
Absolutely.
So before we wrap up, I'd love to get your thoughts on this particular discussion that we have had so far.
So, final thought, absolutely. Cyber threats are continuously evolving. As a business, you must stay agile. Things like multi-factor authentication could go a long way in improving things, improving in security controls in your environment. Adopting a framework such as zero trust security model and proactive threat intelligence will also come a long way. Of course, threat intelligence is not everybody can think of, but leveraging a public-private partnership or hiring a third-party vendor who can give them the kind of awareness and things what's happening around the world or within the industry comes a long way. Last but not the least is a human error. Human error is a major factor in the breaches. So continuously training is and security awareness, bringing the right story goes a long way. So follow these simple and key things such as MFA, security awareness, be agile, be up to date, follow the zero trust model. We will cover zero trust in our second episode, I
Yes.
believe, in detail, where
Yes.
I will give some more examples how zero trust can be implemented for even a small, medium company or a large company, which could really help them in strengthening their security posture for combating against these ransomwares and phishing email which are being sent. So that's the key takeaway.
Great. So Abbas, thank you once again for your invaluable insights today, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode. And to our listeners, we are just getting started. In our next episode, we are diving into zero trust security, which Abbas has already mentioned. and why the
Yes.
traditional security models are failing and why adopting a zero trust approach is now a necessity rather than an option. Abbas will be joining us again to break it all down, so be sure to tune in. Until next time, stay secure, stay informed, and keep pushing the boundaries of cybersecurity excellence. Thank you, Abbas.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.